Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another exciting week of Game Stuff, where it is the best a man can get, and a woman.
And Matt was supposed to be back this episode, but he is actually celebrating his birthday today, so happy birthday, Matt. For anybody that's new to our podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about games. This week's topic is one of my favorites. We're discussing CES, the Consumer Electronics Show that happened in Las Vegas this week. Just love that show. But before we get into some into the topic, let's get into some housekeeping. If you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. You can follow me on Twitter at GameStuffCast. We have a Facebook group to search Game Stuff Podcast. Now, before we get into what we've been playing, I just want to talk a little bit about last week's episode. Because we did talk about the whole Ellie debacle. And one of our listeners, Greeth, actually messaged me today to let me know that the reason why it was a social experiment was that the gentleman was having trouble getting on a professional team, and he thought he'd be able to do it if he said he was a girl.
What a mess. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so this is just getting worse. But hey, let's get to this week's episode. Roberto, have you been playing anything fun this week?
All sorts of stuff. So I'm going to start off with one obvious one. I didn't have the permission to talk about until now. Now, some very good news happened. I decided to apply to the Capcom press system, and my application was approved. And one of the first things I was able to play and review was Onimusha Warlords on the PlayStation 4.
Onimusha. Onimusha.
Yeah. Yoshi.
I saw you playing that this week. I know Joe is very excited about that game. In fact, today he posted himself picking up the game. What do you think of it?
Oh, wonderful. Considering the game is nearly 20 years old at this point, it plays really, really good. You know, I was actually very surprised. So, Onimusha Warlords, known as Onimusha in Japan, was released in March 2001, ladies and gentlemen. Just to put things into perspective, George W. Bush was the president. There were no smartphones. There was no Twitter, and there was no Facebook. MySpace was just starting. The PS2 had literally launched a few months earlier and absolutely wiped the floor with the Dreamcast, basically snuffing out its candle and forcing Sega to exit the console arena. And also iPods, I believe, were they a thing?
No. I don't remember that far back.
Yeah, I think they had just started. But the iPods, they were these big, thick calculator things that can hold like 32 gigs before they can hold like 20,000 songs and all that stuff, or not even 20,000, like 100,000 or whatever. So but in any case, so Onimusha, described by our Joseph as Resident Evil in feudal Japan, takes players on an adventure to rescue Princess Yuki from demons and this evil army inside of Inshibaya Castle. And if I pronounce that right, I might have mispronounced the name of the castle. So you are a samurai, a warrior bound by honor and a code to protect, to serve, and to fight for what's right. Now, a letter is sent to you by Princess Yuki, and that there's monsters nearby, slaying and kidnapping members of her cabinet. And when you show up, she's already been captured. The demons are way too powerful, and you're on the verge of death. But then the Council of Ogres actually saves you, gives you a gauntlet, and the gauntlet allows you to claim the souls of the slain demons. so you can upgrade and upgrade your powers to your sword and also your sword itself. So yes, Shrek saves Onimusha to rescue the princess. So actually, you know, this is technically a big Shrek video game. Now, one thing about the original game was that it had tank controls. And if for those that are not familiar with tank controls are that there was a time in which the analog sticks weren't available yet for control. So moving your character felt like a tank. It was like you had to use your directional pad. It was like the response time, the movement was sluggish. And also, and this was notorious in games like Resident Evil because you can't change the camera. You can't rotate the camera and see what's around you. You have to just deal with the camera at a fixed position following you as you run down a hallway or you go into a main lobby in a mansion or whatever. And on one hand, people like this because, you know, in that particular game, it's scary. It heightened the sensation. You got to be careful with the combat. And but also it was frustrating because once a zombie got you in that particular in Resident Evil, it was really, really hard to shake them off and you would die. Onimusha had this and originally. I'm pleased to say, though, they changed the controls. So you can move around with the left analog stick, no problem. Makes it very much, much easier to navigate the castle. It's great. It's a hack and slash game. You're going to be fighting a bunch of monsters, trying to find items to navigate through the rest of the castle. The levels are all hand-painted illustrations, so you run through them. There's some boss fights. It's a great game. It's short, but the good news is that there's a ton of replayability, especially if you want to get all the secrets, if you want to unlock all the achievements. And it's great. For $20, it's a really good buy, and also it's available physically right now on PS4 and Xbox, and I believe Nintendo Switch. It's definitely available digitally on all three platforms. So,
yeah. I don't think it's actually available physically on the Switch. It's only available digital.
Oh, okay. Because I know, because Joseph actually posted on the GameStuff chat not too long ago that he bought the game and also he got the physical copy. And but yeah, it's a very, very great. As for and then a couple of other pointers. Visually, the game still holds up. They did a nice, it's widescreen. I didn't notice it in like blurry textures or anything like that. So they really did a nice cleaning, polishing of the cutscenes, the in-engine graphics, so it doesn't look like ugly or anything like that. It plays modern. It's great. So it's a great example of a remaster done right. So definitely give it a look, check it out, and I think you'll like it. Now, the next two games. So, let's see over here. Okay, this game actually came out last year, and it's pretty neat. Ruiner.
For what system? What is
PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Oh, okay. So you haven't heard of Ruiner? It's from Devolver Digital. So, Ruiner is actually a twin-stick cyberpunk adventure type of game where the player actually navigates this dystopic district in China and actually has to look for your brother. So the game starts off and it's really like heavy cyberpunk sci-fi. So think of like The Matrix and Ghost in the Shell, like the big metallic structures, factories, lights, all that stuff. So your character, literally, you're running around and you're speechless, but you have this like big LED mask that you wear that has like different graphics to communicate. So there's people trying to kill you left and right, and you got futuristic weapons. You can dash, you can use a shield. It's brutal. You can do brutal melee kills, and then right as you're racing to the factory, somebody actually manages to to almost kill you, that then somebody rescues you. So it turns out there's something going on. Your brother needs to be rescued and saved. And so then you're out and about trying to rescue your brother. So the rest of the game, it's a twin stick action game. So you've got elements of melee combat, shooting combat, a really wonderfully well-designed visual world, great soundtrack. It's difficult, it's challenging, it's exciting, it's cool. It takes some getting used to with the combat because it can happen lightning fast and you have to like really balance out the melee and the shooting. The enemies can be pretty difficult. The other thing that kills this game is that it's like the gameplay is great and the visuals are great, but there's no voice acting and there's like cutscenes that happen and you have to read the text. There's like no voice acting. So like one scene in particular had me approach somebody who hacked my brain, and I was going to get like my payback. And, you know, you don't get the sensation of this guy being terrified or anything like that, or you getting the revenge. Like there's none of it. You know, there's like, you know, sounds, some words, but no clear speech. So it would have been nice to have like, you know, good lenient voice acting just to kind of like, you know, underscore the emotions of what you're at. And
when did this game originally come out? For what system? This is the
2017 or 2018.
Okay, this is a Devolver Digital game.
Yeah, Ruiner. R-U-I-N-E-R.
Okay. All right. No, that's kind of very old schoolish. Is it reminiscent of an old school game with this, since they're doing no voice acting?
I suppose so, because it's like, you know, many games that we played didn't have, like, you know, that were great, didn't have a lot of voice acting or anything like that. And I guess maybe that could have been it. Maybe they just wanted to keep it, you know, focused on the action and the sensation and the style. But at the same time, it just feels like a little bit hollow, because it's just, I want to hear like what these characters would sound like in this situation, and, you know, maybe have like a more thick, like thinned out script of what this world is like. Like it's a really interesting world. There's bars, there's, you know, cyborg, fortune tellers. Everybody has like, you know, bionic this or robot arms or whatever. And there's bar girls, there's, you know, sex workers, stuff like that. It's this interesting dystopic world, and it's interesting to kind of get lost in it and see where it all, like, you know, how it all unfolds. So, it's neat. I mean, from what I gather, it's not very long, but, I still want to, you know, I'm still playing it because of the fact that, you know, it's neat, and, the world was very exciting, it looked like, and, you know, with the visuals and the, cyberpunk imagination too. So it's pretty fascinating. I recommend it. And then finally, not too much on the Switch other than what I've already played, Messenger and Mutant Football League and a few others. So I guess that just leaves me with, okay, actually, ooh, that's not, that's not good. I don't have a third game. This is terrible. I
could mention the other one, but I'm reviewing that one, and it's not out till Thursday, so it's all right. I'll take over, because I do have some games that I played this week. I actually beat Detective Pikachu.
Oh, good, okay.
I beat it on Sunday. Very disappointing ending.
It just literally ends?
Yes, without resolving the whole entire issue.
What? That's terrible. It's a detective story, for God's sake.
It is, because it's... Do you know what the story's about?
No, I have no idea.
Are you going to play the game?
If it was on, like, sale or something, sure.
Okay, so...
I mean, you could say it, and then, you know, I'll probably forget about it. It's fine.
Okay, so... This game is about a... your father's gone missing. He was actually in a car accident. And you have to find him. So you start retracing his steps. And you become a detective. In doing so, you meet Pikachu. So, at the end of the game, you don't find your father. So, stupid Nintendo.
Oh my god.
Built in the ability to make a second game. And they built it in so good. Because somebody, and I don't want to spoil it, but somebody's like, oh, eventually you're going to find him. So they tell you that eventually you will find him. What, 10 fucking games down the line?
That's terrible.
I know.
And it's like, for a game like that, you'd think they would have already announced a sequel to it in the works or something like that. I can't imagine it being a very sophisticated or like intensive game for development.
No, it's not, and it's designed for kids, so, like, by the time the kid gets old enough, the next game, they're not going to make any money off of, because he's going to be already on to the next game.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's terrible. I wonder if they're going to fold that into the next-gen Pokemon game that they're making for the Switch.
Probably not, because it's an alternate storyline. It's just weird. It's just, the game was so good, but the storyline just dropped the ball at the end, and I was just like, really, Nintendo? Really?
You sure there's not like a secret ending or anything like that?
watch the credits and everything.
Did you Google it or anything? Look up any kind of secrets?
The only thing I Googled was I forgot to use the gigantic Detective Pikachu character, and I wanted to see what that did. All that did would open up all of the different dialogue options you see Pikachu do. So, like, it could be on, like, in a pool area, and Pikachu would be like, oh, I'm gonna get a tan, and he'll jump on the actual recliner and lay down. So I could open up different things for Pikachu, but that's about it.
Wow. That's...
Yeah.
Maybe, perhaps I won't play it unless it's, like, $5. Like, that's ever gonna happen, but... Oh, that's not good. That kind of reminds me of a game I played on the PS3. I forgot what it was called. It was like Max Steel almost, but it wasn't Max Steel. It was like something like that. It was one of those random indie games, but it was cool because the character had a suit and it could change elements. So he could be you had to use the elements to attack enemies. Like you had to use fire, you had to use rock, you had to use like water. And it was a pretty lengthy game. It lasted a couple hours. And by the end, you're supposed to rescue the princess in some space cavern by some space pirate, and you rescue her. Then you guys get flown into some kind of a portal, and then you wind up in another world. It's like, the game's like, will whatever make his way to finally rescue whatever? Tune in next time. And I'm like, yeah, this game's not getting a sequel, and I deleted it off the hard drive, because I was just like...
That's disappointing.
Yeah, because I was just like, that's a really dumb payoff. I mean, I understand if, like... I mean, just have her get rescued and then just, like, fly away or something. It'd still be cheap, but at least it's some kind of a conclusion. But, oh, yeah. Or even, like, 13. No, 13 on the PS2, that was a great game. But, you know, and you go through this really wonderful campaign of conspiracy, espionage, action, Cold War stuff, lots of shooting. And the ending literally ends in a cliffhanger that we've never resolved. And that was, like, back in 2004, 2005.
You know, the only comfort I do have is the fact that since it is the Pokemon Company that puts the game out, there is a chance that there'll be a sequel, I'm hoping.
Right, yeah. Just to see how it all concludes, or maybe if they go into another medium. I mean, like I said, once again, I mean, the 3DS is being phased out, so...
You think so? I don't think so.
Well, you know, I can't imagine this, like, the 3DS will survive after this year. I mean, there's still games coming for it, but,
Well, I think it's targeted more towards children.
Oh, that too. That's the other thing I forgot. But, in terms of, like, making more software for it. So, okay, fine. I take that back a little bit. So, it might be possible that they make another Detective Pikachu, but specifically squared at, like, general audiences. For, you know, later on this year, sometime next year. But, yeah. But we'll have to just wait and see.
I also picked up my Vita again and started playing Rainbow Moon. I had played the game before a little while, and then my file save got corrupted, so I had to start from the beginning again. Because, you know, the Vita.
Yes. The file saves. So how is Rainbow Moon? Because I have Rainbow Skies, and I've been meaning to play Moon for a while now, and... It looks really good.
It is a lot of fun. It's really tactical grid-based combat when it comes down to your battles. And sometimes you really have to maneuver and think carefully, or you won't succeed through the battle.
Right.
I'm playing on... When you start the game, you can play it on normal or hard. I'm playing it on normal. And then it gives you the option of how much help do you want at the beginning of the game. So, like, you know, you can have a starter pack, you can have some stuff. I, being very, play a lot of RPGs, I went with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have to do a lot of battles and, you know, build up my gold so I can buy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sophisticated, and I've been cranking to try and hopefully start another RPG, but it's tough because it's like, then you don't want to stop. Well, no, you might get tempted to stop, I should say. And it's like, you don't want to do like Sword Art Online, for example. I've been playing Sword Art Online Lost Song for a while now, and I guess I'm towards the end of the game, but I feel like I've been playing that for so long, and there's like two other Sword Art Online games, one on the Vita, there's another one on PS4, there's the Fatal Bullet one that came out last year that I bought last year, last February, and I still have not played. You know, I'm terrible, but I've been meaning to play it because you know, it's sort of out of line. And I met Bryce Peppenwood, last summer, and he's a really cool guy, and I've been really kind of falling in love with the franchise. So,
well, the nice part about Rainbow Moon is the fact that because of the way the RPG works, and it's on the Vita, I sit and play it in front of my TV while I watch TV at night.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've noticed with the handheld stuff. Like last night, for example, something I did was I had my Nintendo Switch, and I was like, oh, I haven't played The Messenger in a while, and I discovered on my cable box you can put on Amazon Prime Video. So there was a video. My mom was like chilling, and she's like, I was like, you know what? Let me show her something cool, like a cool movie or something she hasn't seen, because she doesn't really see movies. And I put on the Infiltrator with Bryan Cranston and John Leguizamo. And, you know, I'm playing a little bit of Messenger, I'm watching the movie, I'm telling her about the movie. The movie, by the way, is an independent film. It's about Operation Sea Chase, which was an operation done in the 1980s to track down Pablo Escobar's money. And it was actually really, really cool. So as that movie's on, I'm playing The Messenger and things like that. I noticed, like, you know, having that is neat. Even the other night, I put on Cycle Pass Mandatory Happiness, and, you know, I got through a good couple, an hour of that, which I finally got a trophy for the other day. I was happy, because I was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours in, I was like, no trophy, no trophy. It's like, then I looked, I'm like, wow, I got a trophy. This is very nice. It was from some route that I took. Good game, by the way. That's still, I mentioned that before, that game's mm-hmm. getting better and better, so I don't want to spoil anything, but if you're a fan of the show, it's a must-have.
So the only other game that I can talk about is Monster Hunter.
Sorry, I tried to time it.
So I tried the Behemoth event. Did you hear about that one?
It was the monsters are like twice the size or something, right?
No, it's actually the Behemoth from Final Fantasy 15.
Wow.
Yeah, so you have to do a storyline. It's really, really cute. There is a monster in Monster Hunter. I think it's the Tiziazi. He digs up a stone. And as part of the monster's repertoire, he digs up a stone, and he will use the stone to protect himself and hit you with it, so it becomes very difficult. Well, the storyline is that he digs up a portal stone from Final Fantasy, and you have to first fight him to get him to drop the stone, and the stone keeps making him bigger and bigger because it's Final Fantasy magic, obviously.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so then you go on to fight the Behemoth. Now, typically when you fight monsters in Monster Hunter by yourself, it has X amount of life, whatever that is. When you add more people, the life goes up and doubles. The Behemoth doesn't do that. The Behemoth is the only creature that will actually have double the amount of health. So you have to fight it as a full party. And we got a full party, and we just couldn't do it. We just could not get through that fight. So I learned a little bit. Hopefully next time I do a little bit better. I have to gear up a little bit more.
That reminds me when I had to get like a full squad going in one time in the division. We had to take down one of those trash men people. Which, like, it felt so far-fetched because in that context of that game, these are humans and people. They're not monsters. They shouldn't be bullet sponges. But here we are. You know, I'm unloading clips and clips and clips of an M249 assault machine gun into this guy, and he's not going down. But we got lucky. But yeah, I feel your pain. that reminds me, God Eater 3 comes out soon. I gotta pre-order that or hope I can get
in. Wow, I'm gonna rein this in before your thoughts just take us anywhere. Let's go to our topic of the show.
It was God Eater is Bandai Namco's interpretation of Monster Hunter. It was the same thing I was segueing. It's sci-fi Monster Hunter. I was going to say, I got to pre-order that. Because it's Monster Hunter, but in like a post-apocalypse. With giant hammers and machine guns and shit. It's amazing. I'm still working on the other one, Resurrection. But anyways, yes, let's go into talking about our robot overlords and how they're going to fold our dirty laundry.
Yes. So CES happened. And the best thing about CES is we have all kinds of new tech that comes out here, both for gaming and non-gaming. For those of you that have never listened to our CES show, I'm going to talk about both. So the first thing we're going to talk about is all the gaming stuff and how it relates to our podcast.
And by the way, CES stands for Consumer Electronics Show.
That's correct, which is out of Las Vegas.
Yes.
And then after that, we're going to switch to the weirder side of CES, because I just find the weirder side hysterical. So, announced, let's start with VR, because I'm a VR junkie. The Oculus Quest was announced. It's a mid-range portable VR set. It's actually a standalone VR set. And people are saying that this might actually get them into VR because they won't have to have accessories. They won't be tied down by cables. Which could be really good for the VR industry. What do you think, Roberto?
So, a portable VR system. Now, that sounds straight up Ready Player One right there. So, yeah, it's going to happen. Sword Online, Ready Player One, it's going to... The future is now.
It's mid-range, so it's going to be lesser than the actual full Oculus Rift attached to your computer, because it's standalone.
Okay. So like, you could literally use this, like, I could drive right now to, like, Starbucks and use it there.
Yes, but you still have to do the whole room tracking thing, because if you move your arms and smack somebody in the head, because it actually will use the Oculus Rift touch controllers, it's...
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so you could actually smack somebody in the head still.
Yeah, okay.
I don't recommend playing in a Starbucks.
Here's my Frappuccino. Oh, shoot, it's an alien. Oh, no. Bam, oh, man, there goes someone's Frappuccino all over the place. You know, but I saved the universe, bitch. So, yeah. Okay, but that is pretty cool, though. No, in all seriousness, that's fun. That's neat. Once again, like you said, you know, it's you got to be careful and just, you know, but and be practical with it. I would recommend taking this thing with you on an airplane or and trying to, like, you know, play Blasters of the Universe or anything like that on an airplane. And certainly don't do it while driving, because I don't know about you heard, but the Bird Box Challenge, some doofus went ahead and drove with the Bird Box Challenge. And
actually,
yeah.
That's a great segue into the weirder stuff that I have. I'm gonna mention one weirder stuff here instead of waiting for it. Somebody decided to have VR for the car.
Oh my gosh. We're engineering our own deaths and destruction here. We're just like, oh my god.
It's designed for somebody who's not driving, obviously. But you can have VR in your car. That's what they're working on. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Apparently, like... I just don't get it.
I suppose that maybe it's not, like, the purpose of it would be maybe educational. Like, I can imagine somebody in the driver's seat putting it on, and maybe...
In the driver's seat. The passenger seat.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Passenger seat, back seat. Like, and looking out the window and seeing and having the VR display something in regards to, like, you know, maybe their environment, where they are... a map, the temperature outside, the trees that they're seeing, you know, any kind of scientific facts, like something like that. And that actually just reminds me, that's another segue. There's this, oh my god, I don't remember the name. Okay, so there was this video that was uploaded, I think it was from CES, and... It was actually, let me see, Guardians of the Galaxy. There was a Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was like some kind of a special type of ride that will allow you to hop into a car with the VR headset, and I don't know if the car is auto drive, but ultimately what it does is it gives you the sensation of being in motion, and you can, and then, you know, you have the VR on, and then you get to engage. So they show this Guardians of the Galaxy, like, shmup, and you have controllers, and the car is on a course, and, you know, I don't know, and I think it's an auto drive, and it goes around the course, and it goes left and right, depending on what's happening on, like, in the game. But the idea is to give you the sensation of, like, you know, like, there's an enemy on the left, and then the car's turning left, and then the, you know, the thing's on the right. So, it's, oh, yeah, so, it was a CES thing. So, this is called, this is the Audi e-tron, It's turned into a spaceship with in-car VR. Let me see what it was called here. This is according to... the drive.com. It had a name. I don't remember. It's like it's not displayed here, but it was actually really cool. So yeah, the experience itself requires a VR headset. You sit in the Audi and it'll like, you know, it turns into a spaceship technically with the, you know, from Guardians with the VR on. And then, you've got, you know, the interior and everything. And then, the ship, the boat, the car will accelerate. It'll brake. It'll go left. It'll go right. So it's really, really cool. So they're calling it Holoride. That's the name, Holoride.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know about you, but I would probably get sick watching VR in a car.
But if you were like, but let's just say it's, I know you're not a Star Wars fan, but let's just say you were World War II. Let's just say World War II. It's Medal of Honor, air power or something. And it's like you're in the car and you got the VR headset and now you've got ME-262s coming at you and you're like, you're in a P-51 and then the car's supposed to, like, wouldn't that be cool? You know, being able to shoot all the like, imagine it. Would you get,
Yeah, it would be cool, but... VR, one of the problems with VR, and a lot of people have this, you probably don't have an experience that, but I have, but that sensation of, you know, it can affect the inner ear to the point that you actually get motion sickness by playing the game. So I can only imagine what it would be like, because what happens is what you're seeing and what you're feeling, your body can't comprehend, and you become sick. So.
Yeah, like, I do notice, like, with, like, the PSVR, for example, the ground, I mean, but I think that's a tracking issue. The ground will, like, kind of turn to rubber and move with the headset on, but then, like, I try to just reset it and, you know, kind of make sure it's tracking me and stuff. I do notice that, when I'm sitting down or laying in bed and I'm using the VR, it's fantastic, like, when I'm playing Tetris, but that is kind of neat, though. I do have to say, like, imagine, there might be a lot more implications because of the fact that I don't know if the car is being driven automatically, but if it is, what if like some programming glitch causes it to oversteer or causes it to accelerate where it's not supposed to? But at the same time, in a small course, it can probably be very well controlled and monitored. I mean, after all, just in comparison, Test Track, which was at Epcot, which is now the Chevrolet Car Design Center, more computers were placed into each of those cars in that ride than all the computers in the space shuttle. So there's probably a lot of safe proof and technology, but that is fascinating combining a car. Now, imagine, this would probably be senseless though, being in a plane, you're the passenger in the back and then you have a pilot and you have VR on, like what kind of experiences you could get out of that?
That's just the next level. Let's just deal with the car first and see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Let's continue. The next thing that came out of CES is, I don't know if you saw this, wireless charging for the Joy-Cons. So you can play them and charge them at the same time. It looks like they charge over the air.
Ooh, the air. It is the way. You can't see it, but it does magic things. Anyway, that's pretty cool. I mean, I haven't had an issue with charging my Joy-Cons, honestly.
Yeah, neither have I. So
I think you have to like play for a long time without them in the Switch dock or anything Switch attached to the Switch for them to really die out. So I think that's okay. I suppose it depends how hard you're using those Joy-Cons and what it is that you're doing. Because even when you have it in the Switch out of the dock, and you have the Joy-Cons connected when you're playing it like a giant Wii, you know, when it's in like Wii U gamepad mode, it charges the Joy-Cons, so.
Yeah. Next thing was the Predator Thanos gaming chair. Did you see this thing?
The Predator Thanos?
Yes.
So, you mean Thanos.
Thronos. 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 It is a very spherical. It's spherical. So it's round. You get into this chair. And there is a arm coming down that holds three gaming monitors.
Oh, now I'm seeing it. Yeah, that thing's a beast.
Yeah, and it rumbles. It's like being inside a rumble pack.
Yeah, that looks... That's cool.
Who the hell has the space or the money to be able to afford this shit?
Well, right, that's the thing about CES. Like, all that stuff looks great, but are you really going to be able to afford it? Like, I would love to afford that robot that folds your laundry, but that's got to be 10 grand easy.
And it's just cheaper to get married. That's what I did.
Zing. There you go.
The other interesting thing, the next interesting thing, is the ASUS Mothership, the ASOS Mothership. It's a powerful portable computer. Now, the thing here is portable computer. It is not a laptop. It looks like a laptop, but it's not a laptop. The keyboard will actually disconnect from the monitor. So, it is a kickstand that comes out of the monitor.
Yes, ma'am.
And it actually will set the monitor up, and the keyboard disattaches from the monitor of this laptop thingy. So it's literally a portable computer.
I suppose it'll be difficult trying to discern people. What's the difference between... I'm seeing it, looking at it right now. That thing looks like a beast. I mean, the ASROG Mothership Gaming Laptop, but... wow. I suppose, like I said, it'll be difficult to tell people, like, what's the difference between a portable computer and a laptop, because a laptop is always a portable computer, but... I suppose, like, that's going to be the really difficult part, you know, like, blurring the line between something that a computer-capable system that you can take around with you and a laptop. I mean, the idea and the goal of technology the last decade or so has been to take and make it as mobile and as discreetly mobile as possible. So that's where tablets blew up, smartphones blew up. So I suppose this is a step in that direction. I kind of wanted to get, like, a gaming laptop just because then I can, like, actually play PC games, the PC exclusive games I know are never going to come out to the console system, but it's like, that's a, oh yeah, that's something, that's a couple of paychecks in there. But that looks pretty cool. What's next?
The Square One. This one I kind of put in there for Matt and me.
Was that that new console that they announced?
Sort of. It's like a console VR tablet. It's a console tablet that comes with different pieces for board games. Then you can just pull up any board game you want to play.
Yeah, because that's the other... That's something like that Microsoft did at E3. Remember the HoloLens? And somebody was playing Minecraft, and then they used the HoloLens to track the guy, like, on the map or whatever. So I think that's the next step. Like, augmented reality still has a lot of capabilities, and it's more than just...
Is an augmented reality.
So then what about... But you mentioned tabletop pieces.
Yes. It comes with, like, little meeples or little Monopoly pieces.
Right.
And so the tablet will display the Monopoly board, and then you put the pieces right on top of the board.
Okay, so that's still augmented reality then.
No, not really. Augmented reality is like Pokemon Go.
No, but that's augmented. It's using the real world as an environment.
No, it's using the tablet.
Right, but then the tablet is what's around the tablet? That you see the table stuff, right?
You put your pieces on the tablet.
Right. Okay. So you put the tablet. So it is sort of augmented reality because you still need the tablet.
Yes, you need the tablet. That becomes like the Monopoly board. So the tablet would display the Monopoly board.
And then you get the physical pieces. Where do they come from?
And they're in the box.
Right, so it's augmented reality. Because you need the pieces to put them on the tab and everything to work. Without the pieces, you can't do anything.
Augmented reality is when, let's look at Pokemon Go, where you look at the Pokemon and he looks like he's in your environment.
Right, but you still need a physical...
Is a board game an augmented reality game?
Well, a regular board game, no.
Well, that's what this is a regular board game. Except the tablet can play any game you want.
Okay, but you need VR. Huh? You need the VR and you need the little pieces.
No, you don't need VR. If you came over to my house instead of setting up a Monopoly board,
This whole time I thought you needed a VR headset. Sorry.
No, it's literally a tablet that you stick regular.
Okay. Oh my gosh. So I was on. We had gone so quick on from the VR talk that I thought this was a VR headset that you use to use the tablet and then use the physical pieces. Okay. No VR. So fine. It's not augmented reality.
It's late, and apparently we're having all kinds of problems tonight. I'm just having a shitty week. Let's continue.
Yeah.
To the weirder stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I love CES just for the shit that comes out of here.
Right.
So, apparently, there were some robots making their way over to the convention center. I guess with their engineer, it was several of them. Well, one of them didn't look both ways before crossing the street and got run over by a self-driving car.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. That was something, but the robot survived.
That's good that the robot survived, but we don't have to worry about the robot uprising because they're being run over by self-driving cars.
Right, but it's like, it's not even a but where do you go at that point? Because the uprising has always been humans using robots for their dirty goods, but in this case, a self-driving car, which was powered by artificial intelligence and computer programming, well, maybe not artificial intelligence, but like a really smart, intelligent computer, ran over a robot, which is run by a computer. So it's a robot uprising and it's a robot uprising? Robot on robot?
It's robot on robot.
Yeah. Autobots and Decepticons. There you go. Cause,
oh, there you go. Yeah. That's right. It's the start of the Transformer Revolution.
Right, because one was made, designed, like, the lore of that is that this alien race called the Quintessens designed robots for construction and robots for war. The ones for war were Decepticons. The one for construction and stuff and were the Autobots. There's a whole lore behind that, by the way. I don't know how I know this thing at 30 years old.
But,
yeah.
Then there's the device that was made to make it feel like you're running in VR.
Right.
Except you have to be sitting down.
Oh, so you have to be sitting down?
Yes.
That's weird. So then...
It was like a disc thing that you put your feet on while sitting down, so you can feel like you're running in VR.
So, like, you can sit like where you're sitting right now, but... So you move...
You put your feet on the device, and then you feel like you're running. I guess it, like, slides. I don't know.
Do you move your legs at all, or no?
I think so, but, like, I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that we are so lazy as gamers that we invented a device to pretend we're running.
Yeah, like, you already have those omnidirectional pads or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's interesting.
Now, my very special award goes to the item that won the robotics award. It's like robotics and droid.
Okay.
So this device came out and everybody was so impressed with it that they gave him an award.
Nice, okay.
They then took the award back.
Right.
Because it was a sex toy. It's a sex toy that you don't have to use your hands.
Oh, wow.
For manipulation.
That's.
And so it won an award for it in the drone category, and then had the award taken back because they were like, oh, you're a sex toy, we can't give you an award.
That's terrible. That's just awkward, like, if it's for manipulation, like, just imagine something that's powered by wires and coils managing to manipulate that. Like, that sounds, like, dangerous, God forbid. If that's manipulating me the wrong way, like, I'm gonna get hurt.
It's very elegant looking. It's very elegant. They really did deserve to win the award.
Yeah.
Like, the person really did a great job. Like, I really wish they kept the award. But I don't understand how you go through all of this to get the award to only realize after the award is given that it's a sex toy.
Right.
Because if you don't follow CES, a lot of sex toys show up at CES for some reason. Like sex robots, everything you can imagine shows up at CES.
I mean, I think just part of it is just in America that, you know, we get terrified of that for some reason. It's the weirdest thing because no other country has an issue with that, but we do. And I don't know, like they're afraid like we're going to get offended or whatever. I mean, I understand like this is about technology, but, you know, human sexual exploration is part of society and nature, you know? So it's like, I don't get it. I mean, you're like, people will find a way for that, you know? It's going to happen. Like, so yeah,
I just don't understand how you win an award and they don't realize it. They don't even realize it.
Right. And then they take it away. That's really dumb.
But they didn't realize it. They went through all this. Was there a demonstration of the product and they didn't realize that it was a sex toy? Like, what did they think that this thing was that they gave an award to?
Some kind of interactive.
It was a back massager. That's obviously what it was. It was obviously a back massager.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. So, yeah, that's something. You know, but
yes.
I'll have to look that up and more about what it looked like and all that stuff. But that's interesting to say the least.
Okay, well, that does bring us to the end of our show. How they can get in touch with you?
All right, so a whole bunch of ways, ladies and gentlemen. So first up, you'll find me on Twitter at jehuty88. That's JEHUTY. I'm a contributor to But Why Though podcast, so you can find me there. I write all sorts of articles for the site. The site represents the celebration and also the intellectual approach of all fandoms, including video games. Also, I am a contributor to StackUp.org military video game charity, so we send video games to the troops. I am a writer for them. Also, I can be found on MajorSloth 1988 Instagram and Snapchat. Also, I can be found on the Facebook Game Stuff group chat and on PlayStation Network at VectorMan88. That's VECTORMAN88. And feel free to find me. And we'll have some, we'll play some games and have some fun.
You can find Joe at MrTMNT84 on all social medias. You can find Matt at Missed Enough, MISTAHNUFF on all social medias. You can find me at Kalai21 on, of course, Steam, KALAI, the number 21. You can find me on the Xbox at Miley, MAILE 21. You can find me on the PlayStation at Miley 1971. You can find me, I'm sorry, Miley 1978. You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21 or the Game Stuff Podcast. If you like this show, we do have some other shows. We have The Trophy Horse and the Nintendo Dual Screen, so check them out. We are also sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any one of those Amazon links, and do your shopping like normal. It does help out the site. We are also partnered with Humble Bundle. There's going to be a link in my show notes. Click on that link. Go do your shopping for your PC games, your Switch games, and it helps out our charity, which is Extra Life. And I want to thank Isaac Sago for helping us with the show. And, of course, the band Take Away the Ugly. You can find all their links in my show notes. So, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
All right. May the Force be with you, everyone. Just a reminder also, the time this show goes out, it'll be one more week to Kingdom Hearts 3. For all you fans out there, grab the milk, grab the bread, grab your food, grab and say goodbye to your loved ones, because it's about to take the fight to the Heartless for the first time in 13 years. I'll see you then. Take care, everyone.